May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Jesus saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. It was about the 10th hour. It was around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And that detail is crucial to the understanding of the story. Two of John the Baptist's disciples have been following Jesus at a distance. They started to follow him because John, the teacher whom they admired and respected, had pointed Jesus out to them. He'd said, Behold the Lamb of God. He'd used the same language the day before. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That was John's own message. It was the reason why John had disciples. People were drawn to his exhortations to acknowledge your sin, repent of it, and have its stain removed by baptism. Now John is telling these two disciples, that man is God's agent for extending what I have merely begun. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And with such an introduction to whom he might be, no wonder the disciples dared no more than to follow Jesus at a distance. But then Jesus turned round and noticed that they were following him. What are you looking for? Jesus said. And they were taken off guard. They couldn't answer the question because they didn't know what they were looking for. They were seekers after answers to spiritual questions, but their quest was not a refined quest. John had directed them towards Jesus, so they were inclined to believe that if they could just be in Jesus' presence for a while, maybe things would become clear to them. And so when Jesus asked them, What are you looking for? Their response was, Where are you staying? They heard just three words from Jesus. Come and see. And the implication of those words would be life-changing for them. The words come and see aren't just an encouragement to find out where Jesus is spending the night. They imply, come and be my follower. Come and learn from me. Come and dedicate your lives to me. Come and watch my sacrifice. Come and experience the new life that I am offering to those who join with me. Come and be of service to me and to your fellow man. It was just three words from Jesus, but they were enough to change the entire trajectory of those two disciples' lives. And those three words, John wants us to know, were spoken and responded to at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Time matters. Remember what is at the heart of John's Gospel. The Word became flesh. God, who exists outside time, has entered our existence, where everything happens in time. Our life, human life, happens in time. And so humans only encounter God when God crosses from his timelessness into our time. God chooses to cross the boundary that separates time and timelessness. And that was what happened for those two disciples when Jesus turned around, saw them following, and said, "Come and see." God crossed into their time. And it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a mark of the genuinely important events in our lives that they are not set in general time. They are set with specificity. I remember exactly where I was when Kennedy was shot. I remember exactly when the trade centers were destroyed. My first child was born at 5 a.m. We were married at 6 p.m. He died right after lunch. I remember exactly where I was when I learned about my diagnosis. And if you or I had been one of those two disciples of Jesus and he had said to us, "Come and see," we would have known that happened at 4 o'clock. This isn't the only time when John's Gospel tells us what time it was. When Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well, it was about the sixth hour. That's noon. When Jesus heals the centurion's son by speaking the word only, the fever left him at the seventh hour. When Jesus is tried before Pilate, it was at the sixth hour. Looming over the entire gospel is Jesus' time, Jesus' hour. "Woman, what concern is that to you? My hour has not yet come. Believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. Verily I tell you, the hour is coming and is now here. No one laid hands on him because his hour had not yet come. My soul is troubled. Father, save me from this hour." Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart this world and go to the Father. What changes for Jesus when he becomes incarnate is not just that he takes on flesh and blood. It's that he submits himself to the fundamental condition of life, which is that it happens in time. So for us, and for Jesus, there is an hour, a destined and appointed time. The Greeks had two words for time, chronos and kairos. Chronos was sequential time. Day follows day, hour follows hour. It's how history unfolds. But kairos was different. Kairos was the moment, the right moment, the supreme moment. It's the time at which an event of significance happens. In Christian thought, it is the moment when God leaves his timelessness and acts in our lives, in our time, in our history. The root of the word kairos was that moment when the archer has drawn back his bow and he judges that he can let his arrow fly. The precise moment when he judges that his arrow will pierce its target. That's kairos. And Jesus said to those disciples, come and see. It was kairos. The arrow he had let fly entered the hearts of both of them. 4 o'clock, the appointed time in the purpose of God for those two men. Epiphany. The season which we now celebrate is the season focused on God revealing himself to man. Begins with the wise men who follow a star seeking a king. And at their appointed time, their kairos, they find him and they lay gifts at his manger. But Epiphany is not just the story of the wise men. Epiphany is our reminder that God has appointed times in each of our lives when revelations take place for us. When that happens, God is crossing the boundary into our time. There may be times when God has a lesson for us. There may be times when God clips our wings and humbles us. There may be times when God astonishes us with his bounty. There are times when God carries us. And there are times when God expects us to carry others. There are times when we find God in hope. There are times when we find God in despair. But always, we must keep our eyes open and stay awake. We don't know our hours. By their very nature, they are the surprises in our lives. But all of them are precious. We won't want to miss any of them. They are the appointed times when God invites us into a deeper appreciation of who he is for us and how we are to respond to him. They amount to God saying to us, come and see. And it can happen at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, or it can happen right after midnight, or any time of day. Come and see. In Eastern Orthodox churches, the service is called the Divine Liturgy. It's what we call the Eucharist. The deacon is the one who starts the service of the Divine Liturgy. The deacon turns to the priest and announces, "It is time for the Lord to act." The deacon is saying, this is the appointed moment at which the eternal will intersect with time. I think that's a good way to start the service. It is also a good way to lead our lives. Always alert to the epiphanies that are there for us. When it is time for the Lord to act. Amen.